God has given me a message for you, and the message continually woven together. And we're going to go to the Bible in Romans, the 8th chapter, the 28th through the 30th verse, and we're going to use the Passion Translation. If you have a Bible, you can go ahead and open it. If you're using your iPad, your iPhone, you can go ahead and turn it on. And the Bible says, "So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his design purpose. For he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share in the likeness of his son. This means the son is the oldest among the vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. Having determined our destiny ahead of time, he called us to himself and transferred his perfect righteousness to everyone he called. And those who possess his perfect righteousness, he co-glorified with his son, continually woven together." When you read this verse, you know, I used to hear a lot of people say, God's going to turn everything for good. But they were talking about every single incident in their life. But what God is talking about in this verse, he's going to weave together your life from when you were a child until now, and he's going to turn it into good. If you grew up with a family and you were really poor, and then you went into your teen years and you've struggled ever since, and every time you turn around, your car is repoed, your finances are bad, and everything is going on, God is going to use that. He's weaving it together. He has a plan for that. A lot of times we look at things in our life and we look at it in one season and we say, Lord, this is going on. Help me with this one season. But if you go back and you begin to write your testimony and you start out when you were young and you begin to write your testimony and you write it down, I want to tell you something. You're going to see what God is doing in your life because he's going to show you through that testimony. I have a testimony of when I was in fourth grade. We used to live in California. I was a military brat. So, you know, when you're a military brat, you move a lot. And back then, in the Vietnam era, you moved a whole lot. I went to two different schools every year. We were all in all states. They used to tell my dad, if I wanted to issue you a wife and children, I'd have given you some. That's what the Marine Corps used to tell him. So we moved all over the place. And I can remember moving from California to Wilmington. And Wilmington was a whole different ball game than California. So I get to class, and I'm in fourth grade, and I have this teacher who has a deep Southern accent, and instantly she hates me. She says to me, "You think you're better than us because you talk differently than us." I'm in fourth grade. I have no clue what she's talking about. But let me tell you, she made my life miserable that one year. She began to talk about me every time I would get up. She would request that I would read something. And when I began to read it, she would make fun of me and imitate every word I said. And she would do it every day. And I can remember the days I refused to read, I was in the hallway or in detention. And then she would have the class laugh at me. So I went through this for a whole year. Now, I have a mom at home, but my dad was in Vietnam, and my mom was having to handle everything else with the family. So I was trying to be strong and trying to handle it myself. That's why I want to put a plug into teachers. If you teach, love the children, bless the children, honor the children, don't tear children down. And if you're a parent, pray for the teachers. But this teacher, all year long, she did this. But you know what? God weaved it together. Because God knew one day he called me to preach the gospel. He knew one day I'd be on a platform. And he knew that all the things I was suffering with her, I was going to learn from it. So what I did, I began to go into dramas. I went to drama class. I began to get on platforms. I played different parts. And I was trying to beat that fear and that memory that I had. And God can do that. He weaved all the things I did together to put me here today. Amen. Each one of us has events in our life. So when I was going through that, I'm not going to walk down the hallway and say, it is good, it is good, it is good, because I would be lying. It was not good. But what I can say is God weaved it all together and he made it good. He made me know what other people feel like when they're afraid to do something. He let me know what other people feel like when you've been tormented with something for a long period of time. And it might be anything. It could be driving. It could be anything. How it feels to be tormented with something. And the devil uses it. And God has to heal you, deliver you, and set you free from it. So there's a difference between something being good and all things working together for good. God has a purpose in bringing everything together. He wants to make us more like Christ. In the things I suffered, it helped me have compassion for other people. When you suffer, and all of you who suffer know this, it gives you compassion for someone else that's going through something. Amen? If you didn't ever suffer anything, then you would get prideful, and you wouldn't have compassion for people. Now, when I looked up, and I was talking to a friend of mine, she called me the other day on the phone, and she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I was talking to her, and in popped to my mind a young lady who had breast cancer about 8 years ago, and God delivered her. So I put them together because I knew God had a plan. The young lady who had been delivered 8 years ago and healed, God was weaving a healing ministry in her life. And God was going to use her to help set this other lady free. So they got up with each other, and they began to pray together. And guess what? She went to the doctor. She had the surgery, but guess what? They found no more cancer. When she went back for a report, no more cancer. Amen? God will use the things that you're going through in your life right now. You're saying, I don't know how he could use this, but he will weave it together for his glory. Now, when you look at Saul, Saul's a great example in the Bible. He's in Acts 9. Saul was not a very nice man. As a matter of fact, he persecuted Christians. He's a very cruel man. And he loved to see Christians die or go to prison. But let me tell you something. God has a Damascus road for everyone that doesn't know him as Lord. And he's going to meet him there. He met Paul one day. Paul was headed to Damascus. A light shone down from heaven. Paul said, "Why do you persecute me, Lord? Or who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said to him, "Why do you persecute me?" And Paul said, And the Lord said, "You cannot fight against me." When Paul got up, he was blind. They took him to a place where he didn't eat or drink for 3 days. And then the Lord gave Ananias a dream. And in that dream, he said, "Go pray for Saul." So he went and prayed for Saul. And Saul's life was changed forever. Paul became a man of God. He began to be the one persecuted because he was preaching the gospel. So he got to see how those other people felt that he persecuted all those years. Now, when he was blind and he didn't eat and he didn't drink, God was doing something inside of him. Paul was sorry. He repented. He turned around for God. And many things happened to him in the midst of it. The first thing that happened was when he went to see the other disciples, they didn't believe him. They're like, he's saved. They wouldn't let him go anywhere with them because they just didn't believe it. Now, let me tell you, I have an example for that. Two of the guys were here the other day, and a drill instructor who had been a drill instructor like 25, 30 years ago, they said he was the most evil person they've ever met in their life. And drill instructors used to have full authority to do whatever they wanted to do. And they said this man was from the devil. So they're at church, and they're praising God, and they look back, he's sitting in church. They told me, "I know he's not saved." I said, "You don't know that." They said, "You didn't know him." But let me tell you, God can meet someone where they're at, change their life. They get saved and changed for eternity. It doesn't matter how mean they were. It doesn't matter how evil they were. If God can change me and God can change you, he can change them. Amen? Now, Paul, the people that came to Paul, I'm sure if it were me and I was the person that was under that drill instructor, when he ran over to me and said, "Hey, how you doing?" I might have had a question too. But those guys embraced him. Just like the apostles and disciples finally embraced Paul. Now, Paul went through a lot. When I was reading in Acts 9, they beat him with a cat of nine tails. He was shipwrecked. He was in chains. He was in prison. They did a lot to Paul for the gospel. But in spite of the things that happened, this is what Paul said in Philippians 1, 12 through 14. "I want you to know, dear ones, what has happened to me has not hindered but helped my ministry of preaching the gospel, causing it to expand and spread to many people. For now the elite Roman guards and government officials overseeing my imprisonment have plainly recognized that I'm here because of my love for the Anointed One. And what I'm going through has actually caused many believers to become even more courageous in the Lord and to be bold and passionate to preach the Word of God, all because of the chains. Paul was being imprisoned for a testimony. Now, how many of you have a job or a family? Let's go with the job. You have a job and your boss or people you work with are just totally mean because you're a Christian. They talk down to you. You can't get in there and do the things they can do. But what you can do is keep living like you're living. You don't even have to say anything. Just keep living like you're living. If your boss is mean to you, do the best job you can. Do it better than he expects you to do. And guess what'll happen? He'll have a Damascus experience. God will meet him and say, hey, that's my son, that's my daughter, stop. And that's what he did with Paul. If you're in a family and you're the first one saved, or a lot of people in your family aren't saved, and they look at you like you're crazy, like you've grown wings, because you want to share the gospel with them. You want to see them saved. You don't believe in some of the things they're doing still. You've come out. When you try to come out of something, your family does not want you to come out. They want you to stay where you're at. But guess what? You're coming out, and you're preaching the gospel, and you're sharing about Jesus, and you're living it. And when you live it, you don't even have to open your mouth. People will know you're a Christian by the way you live. I don't have to tell anybody when I'm in the store, I'm a Christian. People walk up to me and ask me to pray for them. Sometimes I think it's a little strange, but I do it anyway. It's the way you live. It's the way you treat people. When I go to restaurants, I treat my waitress like she's my best friend. I treat her like the gift that she is to God. I want her to know that Jesus loves her, so I'm good to her. Every time she comes to the table, I thank her for bringing me my drink, for doing this, for filling that up, because she's doing it. And she may not be saved, but guess she's going to get saved because of my testimony to her. She's going to get saved because of your testimony to her. Not because she went somewhere, but because of watching you live. So we live for Christ. Amen? Now, in 2 Corinthians 12:10, the Bible says, so I'm not defeated by my weakness. So if you're weak in an area, it's okay. But delight it. For when I feel weakness and endure mistreatment, when I'm surrounded with troubles on every side and face persecution because of my love for Christ, I'm made yet stronger. For my weakness becomes a porter. It becomes a doorway. It becomes a gate for God's power. When you're being persecuted for the gospel, it's okay. God's got your back. When I'm being persecuted, I don't even tell people. Because you know what I know? God's got my back. I trust him as my father. I know that he's going to be there. I know he's going to take up for me. And I don't even need to know how it's done. But what I do know is that that person who's persecuting me, who's being mean to me, will turn around one day and just walk over and start talking. I'm like, wow, that was quick. But God will do it because he loves you. And when you follow him, you keep your eyes on him, no matter what the person does, continue to love them. Pray for them. Believe for them. Believe for their salvation. That's God's whole point, that they would be saved for the glory of God, that their lives would turn around, and God would do a great thing. Make us into his image. And that's what God is doing. In every trial, every test, he's making us into his image. Amen? When I was reading, I read a lot of books about people overseas that suffer for the gospel. I was reading about this pastor from Indonesia. Now, he was trying to prove the Bible wrong, so he read through the whole Bible, and he got saved. He was a Muslim. The Word of God is powerful. So then he began to talk to the other Muslims about Jesus, and a lot of them were getting saved. So one day in a cab, he was talking to this cab driver, but the radio was on, and they heard him. So they arrested him. Overseas, you can't just preach the gospel. We're free here to preach the gospel. So while he was in prison, they put him in prison for 4 years. They beat him. They whipped him. They did all kinds of things, made him work hard labor. He got out. He showed all these scars that he had. But guess what he did the next day? He went right back out, and he began to preach the gospel because he knew that the people there that are Muslim need to know Jesus. And he knew Jesus was weaving his life together so that he would be the one, he would be the evangelist, he would be the one to step out and share the glory of God. When I read last, he was back in prison. He'd been in there 2 years. But he was in prison preaching the gospel. And when he got out, he was going to preach the gospel. And that's what God calls us to do. Amen? I heard this. As God is working in our life, sometimes we don't understand the trial, the test, the battle. We don't understand why something happens. There was a pastor here, and it was many years ago, and began to tell the story of a pastor's son. The son had served God, and he was powerful. He was anointed. His father was a strong pastor. He got involved with the wrong group and began to get into devil worship. And before you knew it, he was the leader of the whole group. So he was the leader of the whole group that was doing devil worship. But one day he was walking by a building, and he went inside, and God woke him up at that minute. He went to the altar and rededicated his life. And then he began to work with his dad again. He began to minister at church. He began to pour out. But in the back of his mind were all the people that he, with the anointing on his life, even for evil, had pulled into the devil worship. And they kept being on his mind. So he began to go back and witness to them. And he saw them come out one by one. He saw them begin to turn around and come out of the devil worship. But then he got death threats. And they told him, you better give up or we're going to kill you. And you better stop. He didn't stop. And they tricked him. One of them called him over. And he went over there to witness to them. And they stomped him to death and they killed him. Now his dad got up as his eulogy. And he began to say, my son was doing what God destined he would do, and one day I'll see him in heaven, because he could have died when he was in the devil worship. But God allowed him to come out, preach the gospel, see many lives turn around and change. And even after they stomped him to death, a lot of teenagers came out of it because they saw that his witness was real, that he loved the Lord. And they knew there must be something to this if he would come back to them, even though he knew that he might die. Amen? So God is weaving our life together for good. And he's telling us not to give up. Not to give up. No matter what you're going through, don't give up. God has a plan for you. He's building us into the image of his son. He's turning it around for us. I've been at River of Life 25 years now. That's a long time. I started in the storefront where I rededicated my life. I've seen people come and people go. I had this great friend that was, and she's still my friend, that was there before I came. And a lot of things happened in her life. Her house burnt down. Her kids went wayward. A lot of things happened. And she walked away from God. And I still pray for her every day because she was a powerful woman of God. She loved the Lord. She used to sing. She has the voice of an angel. But she walked away from God. And she no longer serves him because so much was going on in her life. And she didn't turn to him, but she turned and ran the other direction. We can't give up. We can't give up. I read a quote on Facebook. I'll tell you, it was on Facebook. And it was an awesome quote, so I wrote it down. And it's by Connie Boom. And what she said was, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You still wait and trust the engineer. Well, Jesus is our engineer. When things are dark, when things aren't going the way you think they should, you just don't give up. You just don't throw in everything and say, I'm starting over. God's made a promise. He's making us more like Jesus. He's making us more like his children because we are his sons and daughters. We are. When we're in the kingdom, we're adopted in as his sons and daughters. God sees everything we're going through. And his ultimate goal is to use you. Now, I don't know what you're going through in life, but what I do know is God is going to use it. Let's say that before you rededicated your life, you were a drug addict. And you're thinking, and it could be prescription drugs or drugs out in the world. And you said to yourself, what's God going to do with that testimony? That's why you need to write your testimony down. God's going to use that testimony. He's going to take that testimony and how you got set free and delivered, and he's going to bring other people that are addicted to drugs, and you're going to speak into their life, and they're going to be set free because you know what they went through, and you know how to come out. So God is going to use your life to do that. Now, I can pray for a person that's addicted to drugs. I can bless a person that is addicted to drugs. But when someone has been through it, when someone knows the steps, when someone knows how you fall back, and you begin to witness to that person, and you begin to minister to that person gets set free. Amen? When I turn on the news, and I was looking at news the other day, there's so much going on in the news. Whether you look at it at the web, you read the newspaper, people don't have remorse anymore, a lot of people. They do the cruelest things, and they don't even think about it. I was watching this dad, and he was mad at his wife. So he got the little girl, and he drove to a bridge in her car seat, and he threw her over. He wanted to get back at the mother. And then I saw a mother do basically the same thing. She wanted to get back at the dad, so she drowned the kids in the tub. That's zero remorse. That's revenge. And God needs to save each one of them. They're savable. God has a testimony. He's going to use them in prison to bring many to Christ. Prison needs people that know the gospel. Prison needs people that can preach. So I'm praying that they will get saved, delivered, and set free, and help other people in prison to turn it around. Amen? Now, when God is saying we're the firstborn, he means we're adopted into the kingdom. We're sons and daughters. In the Roman times, if you accepted Jesus in your heart, in the Roman times, when Paul is talking about this, I researched it to see what he was talking about. In the Roman times, if you didn't have an heir when you got older, it had to be a guy, a man. If you had daughters, it was okay, but you had to have a male to take over, or you would lose everything. So when you got really old, you would adopt one of your workers or one of your workers' children, someone you trusted, and their debt would be set free, and they would become your son and your heir. But that way they could take care of your wife and your daughters. But that's what God did for us. He adopted us into the kingdom, and he took care of all our debts when we repented. All of our sin debt he took care of. So Paul is referencing this as he's talking about weaving our lives together. Now, some of you started out in a childhood when you were little that you wish you didn't live. But I want to tell you something, even with the worst childhood, God's going to take that and weave it together and use it for his glory. And you look back at your childhood now and you said, I don't even want to go back there. I don't even want to face it. But God is going to bring healing and deliverance. And then he's going to turn around and you're going to begin to share with other women and other men what happened in your life that was so terrible and help them come through it. But he has to heal you first and deliver you because it will be a testimony. And he is weaving our lives together for his glory because all of us have the same desire to be like Jesus. We say it all the time. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. Well, guess what? Those trials and those tests and those battles are making you more like Jesus. Every time you come out the other side, we may not like it. It may not bring comfort, but it brings the glory of God in our life. Because every time you come through a trial, I know every time I come through a trial, I feel so much better on the other side of it. And I see what God has done. I feel lighter. I feel like I've gone to a new level in him. So embrace the trial. Embrace the test. Embrace the battle, knowing that God is going to use it for his glory. And you're going to find yourself witnessing, praying, preaching, and teaching other people. But he's going to use the things you suffered in life to bring you to that level, those things that you went through. God has so many things that he wants to do with each one of your lives. In verse 30, he says, you're predestined. And that's the Greek word for morpho, which means metamorphosis. You're predestined for something great, every single one of you that accept Jesus to your heart and allow him to be the Lord of your life. And you know what? It doesn't even matter if anyone's ever told you before, I'm telling you now, each one of you are predestined for something great, something good that God is going to do in your life. I know it's easy to trust God when everything is going good. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody goes through trials and tests. You don't ever get to a level until you reach heaven that you don't go through trials and tests. And sometimes it's so easy. It's easy when all your bills are paid, when you got money in the bank, when all your family's walking with God. It's so easy. You're having a great time. But let me tell you something. When things aren't going perfect, when you're sick in your body, when you're in pain, when you just filed bankruptcy, when your children all walk away from God, then you look up and you say, God, what are you doing? He's working it out for his glory. And when you put your eyes on him and you keep walking through, you're going to see God has a great plan and he's weaving it together because you have a testimony that hundreds of people need to hear. You're not just sent to the body of Christ to sit and soak in. You're sent to be an evangelist. You're sent to be a disciple. You're sent to bring others to Christ. Amen? In James 1:12, the Bible says in the Passion Bible, if your faith remains strong, even while surrounded by life's difficulties, you will continue to experience the untold blessings of God. True happiness comes as you pass the test with faith and receive the victorious crown life battles for you. Victorious crowns of life's promise to every lover of God. Now, I was studying Joseph. Now, all of you know about Joseph, right? From a young boy, God began to give him dreams, which made his brothers really jealous. So what his brothers did was they pretend to kill him, put him in a pit, and sold him into slavery. After he went into slavery, God gave him favor in the prison he was still in. And then even as God gave him favor, he went to Potiphar's house to work for him. In Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife liked him and came after him. So he had to run. She kept his cloak, told her husband, so he's back in prison again. We can't rush God. So he runs into a cupbearer and a baker, and he interprets the dream. But what he tells the cupbearer, because the baker's head is going to come off, what he tells the cupbearer is, get me out. Tell somebody about this. But the cupbearer forgets because God doesn't even let him remember because it wasn't God's timing. God has a timing for everything in your life. Sometimes I would like to rush God's timing. I don't want to stay in trials as long as I do sometimes, but it doesn't matter. God has a plan and a purpose. The king needed a dream interpreted. That's when they called Joseph. And Joseph became the second in charge. When you wait on God, God has a plan, a destiny, and a purpose for it. Amen? Amen. Now, I want to give you 8 points about God weaving your life together. And some of these are basic, but sometime when you're in the midst of a trial and you're in the middle and it feels like a storm is all around you, we forget the basic things that got us where we're going. The first one is spend time praying. Sometimes when you're in the midst of a battle, the hardest thing to do is pray. If you pray in the spirit, pray in the spirit. If you don't pray in the spirit, pray. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray the 23rd Psalm. Pray it every day. Pray it every time the situation comes up. When my dad was in a battle for sickness, I can remember being in my mom's room with me and my dad and my mom, and we would pray the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm every night. And we saw God do great things. So don't forget to pray. And you know what? Sometimes the only thing you can pray is Jesus. Just call on his name, Jesus. And I want to tell you how you know what you've been reading. You're about to get in a car accident. What comes out of your mouth? Is it Jesus so he'll protect you? Or is it da-da-da-da-da-da-da? Okay? Put Jesus in your heart so that when it comes out, you're praying. You're almost in an accident. You call on Jesus. His name is powerful. Amen. Number two, spend time in the Word. In the Bible, meditating on it. Get up early, a half an hour early, and just sit down and read the Word. I like to read the Word in the morning, then I like to read a little bit in the evening. I'm not saying that you have to read the whole Bible. You might read one verse, but read it. and begin to meditate on it. Let God begin to speak to you in the midst of the word. Use it at your lunch break. Sit down and just read one verse that he's giving you that day. Spend time with him. Number three, put verses of the Lord all over the place. Put them in your car. When I'm going through things, and even when I'm not, I got verses beside me in my car. And when I'm at a stoplight, I pick them up and read them. And I read one, and I just begin to meditate on it before the light turns. Now, I like to do that on my phone, but they might think I'm texting. So I put it on a piece of paper. But if you do that, and you begin to just sitting in your car, sitting at a restaurant, just pulling out the word of God will change things. Put it on your desk. Put it up in your bathroom. Put it on your refrigerator. I had a friend, and I tell this testimony all the time, that I used to work with, that was going through a lot at work. He would fold it up, the word that he had that day, and he would put it in his shoe. And then when people started doing things to him at work, he would start tapping that shoe and repeating that verse through his mind. And that's how he handled that. But make sure that you put verses up all over your house. Read them when you're in the bathroom, in the mirror. Read them. The fourth thing, turn the word into a prayer for yourself. When I do, one of my favorite verses is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I will trust in the Lord with all my heart. I will not lean on my own understanding. In all my ways, I will follow God. Amen? So put your name in the verse. Make it personal for you. And let God use it to change your life for his glory. Number five, worship. Sing to God. I know I wouldn't get on this platform and sing to you. But God loves my voice. He gave it to me. God loves all your voices. He gave them to you. So when you're singing, begin to worship God. And if you don't like to sing, put on some music. Put the music in your car. Put it in your house. When you put worship music on, have you ever been sitting in the house and you're going through something and a song comes on and it wrecks your brain and you just find yourself weeping and crying? I was like that. I was going through a trial recently and Reckless Love came on. I probably ate the carpet because I was on my face. But God will do that. He'll use a song on the radio to change the atmosphere in your life and in your home. Number six, when you're praying, have the Lord point out something to you. Say, Lord, what are you showing? Or you're reading the word. Don't read a whole chapter just to read it. Read it, and when the Lord says stop because there's something he wants to deal with you with, stop right there and begin to read it. And then most of the time you need to repent about something that you were thinking, something that you were doing. I know we all look innocent, but we repent all the time. I can remember I was dealing with unforgiveness. It's a great testimony I have. It was years ago, but it lasted a long time. I had someone that I knew that I thought was my friend, and suddenly she shifted. And she came after me like my worst enemy. And she would say things about me. She would do things that weren't right. And I kept praying to God, Lord, and it seemed like God wasn't even listening to me. But what I found out is I'd gotten bitter. I was not forgiving her. As long as I would have kept my heart right, God would have intervened immediately. But I got bitter, and I was mad too. And everything she was doing to me, I wanted to do back to her. So my heart got bitter. But I was walking in the house one day. She'd just done something else. I was walking up the stairs, and I was talking to God. Lord, why does she keep doing things to me? Why won't she leave me alone? And I stopped suddenly because I heard the Lord talking to me. And he said to me, I forgave you. And that's all it took. I instantly forgave her. I repented and I cried. Because I've done a lot of things wrong in this world. And if God can forgive me for everything I've done, who am I to hold anything against anyone? So you forgive them. I'm not saying they're going to be your best friend. She still doesn't speak to me till today. But you know what? I am set free. I am set free to do what God's called me to do. And I bless her and I pray for her. So if you have someone that you haven't forgiven in your life, you forgive them for you so it sets you free. Not forgiving them. Because you can hold all the grudges you want against them. They're not paying you any mind because they're mad at you anyway. But when you forgive them, you'll be set free. And then you could go on to do what God's called you to do. Amen? Number 7, declare over yourself what kind of day you choose to walk in. God's already given you these things. I declare that I'm going to walk in joy today. I declare that I'm going to walk in peace. I'm going to walk in favor. I'm going to walk in goodness. And I declare those things all the time. And God will do what he says he will do. His word does not return void. So begin to declare over your things, over yourself. Some of you have had such a hard life that you haven't heard anything good in such a long time that you might have to just tell yourself. Because if no one else is telling you, and a lot of times people hold back encouragement, people hold back blessing. So bless yourself. Encourage yourself. Tell yourself who you are and tell yourself what God's doing in your life. God is good and he wants to do good things in your life. So declare those things over yourself. I say all the time, I'm the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. I'm the glory of God through Jesus Christ. And I believe that I am who God says I am. And you just need to begin to believe that you're who God says you are. I don't care who said what to you. I don't care what your teacher said, what your principal says. I don't even care if you had parents that talked down to you. I don't care what they said. That's not who you are. You're a son and daughter of the Most High God. You're a blessing. You are favored of God. He has great things planned for you. You need to look in the mirror and begin to declare who you are and watch you see what God won't do. Amen? Number 8, change your atmosphere. You need to look in the mirror and you need to begin to tell yourself, look in your own eyes and tell yourself some things about yourself. Break off every word curse of negativity that has come your way. God did not send negativity to you. God corrects, but he doesn't send negativity. So if you have negative words in your mind right now of who you are, what you can do and what you can't do, look in the mirror and begin to break them in Jesus' name. Because you are who God says you are. You are not what the enemy says you are or anyone else who has a negative word for you. There's this young lady that goes to this church, but she's not in this service, so I can share this. She, until she was 50 years old, could not look anyone in the eyes. And now she looks me in the eyes, but only for a few seconds. When she was younger, she was beat down to the effect that you don't ever look anyone in the eye. She was talked about. She was put down. And other things happened to her, too. So when I met her, I've known her over 10, 12 years. She could not ever look me in the eye. She always had her head down. But God is doing a work in her life. He's weaving things together. And as he's weaving them together, she looked at me the other day in the eye, and she said to me, I trust you. And that's a big compliment. For someone who's going through something like that, to look you in the eye and say, I trust you. Now, as I look out at you, and I probably, you know, because you're a nice-sized crowd, there's a lot of things that have been said to you, too. And you still remember them. You're stupid. You're not beautiful. You're not this. You're not that. But let me tell you what God says. He didn't bring that negativity. The devil brought that negativity to hold you down. But you're breaking free today because you're not receiving that negativity. It's coming off of you, and the real you is coming forth. Just like Lazarus came forth from the grave and those grave cloths came off, you're coming forth. And everything that's spoken to you that wasn't from God, because God is a good God. God is a good God. Some of you never experienced that from your own parents. So you don't understand, but God is a good God. He only says loving and good things to you. He loves you with an everlasting love. So today, he wants all that negativity to come off of you. He wants you to be like Lazarus, to let that stuff go and walk out. And begin the process of being healed. Begin the process of being set free. Begin the process of going forth. Because there's a lot of people waiting on you, to tell them about Jesus. There's a lot of people waiting to see your life come forth and see Jesus in you. But sometimes we're so bound up and we don't even realize it. We got clothes on and everyone looks at us, but they don't come near us because they know something's wrong. They know our mindset. You know, our biggest battle is fought in our mind. It's not around us is in our mind. It's what we perceive. It's what we think. If you could get set free in your mind, think of the things God could do with you. Allow God to set you free today. Allow God to set you free. The last thing, don't let the enemy win any battle with you. You are unique, each one of you. And you know how I know you're unique? Well, I know God created you. He gave you a separate DNA. He gave you a separate fingerprint. Can you imagine that? All the people in the world have different DNA and a different fingerprint. That tells you how much he loves you. He didn't herd you together like cattle and say, okay, let me just stamp each one of you. No. He made you each different and unique, and he has a plan for each one of your lives. And he's going to do exactly what he says he's going to do. He's going to turn those things around, and your life is going to be made new. Today, even as you walked in the door, I could feel the Lord. He was talking to me. He's saying, today's a day of change. Today's a day of transformation. Today is a day that you're revealing that I'm weaving together everything they've been through for my glory. And I'm changing their lives forevermore. The way you think the trials were, even if you were in sin during that trial, God will still use it for his glory. Because your sinful days are testimony of how you came out. So God is going to use it. He's going to turn it around because God has something special for you. Let me give a couple words before I close this off in prayer. The young lady behind the gentleman with the blue-green shirt on, that's you. Amen. As I was looking over at you, the Lord told me to tell you that it's a new day coming for you. He said that you're a blessing. I saw him open up like the windows of heaven, and he began to pour blessings down in your life. He said that through your life, there's some things that you suffered, but God is going to use them as a testimony, and you're going to be on the platform, and you're going to preach to many women, and you're going to tell them how to make it in the midst of storm. You're going to tell them that they can overcome because you stood, and you haven't let the waves knock you down. You haven't let them battle you, and you haven't let them kill you. And God said to tell you, I'm so pleased with your life, daughter. I'm so pleased with your life. You look at yourself, and you don't see what God sees, but see, he sees a woman. A mighty woman of God that has a mouth that's going to testify of his goodness. And many women are going to come to Christ because of your testimony. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Young lady right here. When I was coming in the door, I walked by you. And as I walked by, I saw the Lord take. Does anybody remember those old pumps where you had to pour water in to pump it, to bring water out? I saw the Lord give you a bucket of water, and you poured it in the pump, and you begin to pump the pump, and then you begin to pump a little more, and then the water came out the other side, and it began to flow. The Lord said that's how he's going to use your life. You've been seeking him, and you've been saying, God, show me things in your word. God, show me where you want me to be. God, show me what you want me to do for my life. And God said he's pouring down the water now, and even as it goes in the pump, it's coming out. And God said he's going to use your life. He's going to use your life in a mighty way because you've yielded your life to him, and you say, God, whatever you want to do, do it. God said, I heard you, and I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. 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 Jean Jacket, how are you? Good. I know you. As I was preaching, I saw the Lord put like a rainbow over your head. A rainbow are the promises of God. God said he's made you some promises that you haven't seen come to pass. That you've been seeking him and you've been wondering, Lord, you said to do this. Lord, you said to do that. And I've done everything you told me to do, but I haven't seen them come to pass. The Lord said it's your season. You're getting ready to see those promises come to pass. The past that has held you back is broken off. The promises are yet ahead. God says, open your hand and receive them because they're on the way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the gentleman right there with the beige brown shirt. Yes. As I was up here and I was sharing and everything, I looked over at you and I saw God put the whole armor of God on you. And I saw you pick up a sword. That's the word of God. And I saw you begin to go and cut down everything that was in the path of you and your family. But then I saw you take that sword, and I saw you go forth to go after the enemy for other people. Because God said, I've called you to be an enemy fighter. I've called you to raise up the sword of my word and go forth and tear down walls that other people are afraid to tear down. God said, you're a mighty man of God, and he's going to use you to tear down walls. And some of them are so big, you look and you say, Lord, you brought me out of there to here to do what? But God said that you're a powerful man, and you're going to begin to see God do some things. I saw him begin to, as you read the word, you know how words pop up? I saw God popping the word up to you, and you're going to begin to see those words. And even as you begin to preach those words, you're going to see the power of God behind you. Because God said, from your day you were in your mother's womb, he called you for something great. And today, he marks this day on the calendar. He said, pick up your sword, man of God, and go forth. Because I'm going to do great things in you and through you. Many people are going to come to Christ because of your testimony. And you're going to be one of those who refuses to let anybody go to hell. Because you're going to reach down and you're going to say, oh, no, devil, you can't have that one. Because you are going to be the one to go after the devil. And many people are afraid of that. But you said, Lord, I'm not afraid of that. I'll do what you tell me to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Back row, red shirt. Maybe orange shirt. Red shirt. Yes, you. As I was walking up and down on the platform, I looked back at you, and the Lord said to tell you that you've been asking him for some things, and you haven't seen them. You've been asking him for something in your heart, and I think it even deals with your whole life, something that you've been crying out to him for. The Lord said, it's the season now. He's getting ready to heal your past, and he's going to bring you forth. Because even in your family line, God has some powerful things that you're going to do. And God said to tell you that when you seek him and you ask him, he's going to do what's on your heart. And he's going to bring you full circle into doing what he's called you to do. There's a prophetic gift deep within you, and you've seen touches of it, but you haven't seen the full fulfillment of it. But God said, even as you seek him and he heals you, that prophetic gift is going to flow like a mighty river. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, I want to pray Psalm 31:19 over you. Everyone bow their head and close their eyes. Psalm 31:19 says, Lord, how wonderful you are. You have stored up so many good things for us, like a treasure chest heaped up and spilling over with blessing, all for those who honor and worship you. Everybody knows you can do for those who turn and hide themselves in you. So we choose to turn and hide ourselves in you. We thank you for weaving our lives together for your glory. Thank you that you're perfect and you have a perfect plan for each one of us. Father, we give you praise and we give you glory. And we receive, Lord, everything that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if there's anyone, we've been talking about those who love God and follow him. If there's anyone out there and you haven't accepted Jesus into your heart, or you've backslidden, that means you walked away from God. Today's a new day for you. If that's you, I would love to pray for you. Will you raise your hand? Is there anyone here? Amen. 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 Is there anyone else? If that's you. If that's you. God loves you so much. He's a good, good father. All right, I want to ask that young lady if she would come up forward front. Let's give her a hand. Everyone stand up. Let's give her a hand. All right, we have Sarah and Mark. Mark is a little blessing. And Sarah's life is getting ready to change forever. Amen. God has a special plan for you, Sarah. And even as you came today, God already knew you were going to be in the building. And he'd already planned for you to raise your hand so that your day would start different. And that even as you go home, you're going to be a different person. Even as you walk out that door, God has a plan for you and a destiny. Amen. Let's pray together with Sarah and Mark. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of my sins. Weave my life together. Make me whole in your name. Amen. 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 Pray. Let me pray for you. Let's pray for Sarah. Everybody extend your hand this way. Father, we thank you and we praise you for Sarah. Father, we thank you for her life. Father, even as she walked up today, you began something new in her heart and her life. Father, we ask that you would bless her. Father, give her favor. Father, all the things that are tormenting her, we break them in Jesus' name. And we declare over her a new season and a new day. Father, we ask that you would raise up friends for her that surround her, Lord, that would love her, that would bless her. And Father, we ask that you would begin a healing work inside of her heart, that she will never be the same. And Father, we thank you that today's a new day for her. And we thank you for Sarah, that the angels are rejoicing in heaven over her, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for Mark. We thank you for a child getting saved at a young age. We ask that you would bless him, that your hand would be upon him his whole life, that he would follow you. He would be like Samuel. He would serve you all the days of his life, that he would be in the temple, that you would use him to preach, teach, prophesy at a young age. Father, we give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.